In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In November of the year 2002, 1 year after my own ordination to the priesthood, I had an amazing and rare opportunity. I concelebrated daily Mass with Pope St. John Paul II. Now, it was not just me and my buddy, JP2. It was a larger group, but it was actually only 35 of us. Half of us were priests, the rest were laity, various people, and we were there gathered in that early November morning. So after they had let us in and we gathered in silence to pray, the Pope then came out himself to pray. He moved very slowly. He was pretty elderly by then, but still with all of his ailments, he then knelt down to pray. And he prayed for a while, and he was looking at cards and the intentions that people had given him. The world around him seemed to disappear, and he was clearly lost in prayer. But in the silence, you could hear a very light groaning sound. This was not the sound, though, of aches and pains, but a deeper spiritual groaning. And immediately the words of one of St. Paul's letters to the Romans, the one that we had for the epistle last night, came to me. It says, "The Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings." The Holy Spirit was praying through this saint. Now, prayer is not something that we do, that we come and do for God. It's not merely words or thoughts or just thinking really hard that we express to God. The words are good, though, right? Necessary. But prayer, rather, is more of a disposition. It is something that God does and that we are open to. We receive prayer, if you will, and we are transformed by authentic prayer. Now, today on this magnificent feast, we reflect briefly on the one who makes prayer possible, that is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is not a what or an it. The Holy Spirit is a who. He is a divine person, equal in dignity and majesty with the Father and the Son. And this is important because he's a person. And because he is a person, we can have a relationship with him. We can know and love the Holy Spirit just as we know and love the Father and the Son. And the Spirit loves you and me just as much as he loves the Father and the Son. You see how he is bringing us into this Trinitarian love. The third person of that one God, the most blessed Trinity, is the one through whose power everything is accomplished. Everything. Creation itself happens at the word of the Father, "Let there be light." But it was the Holy Spirit who was the person who made it happen. It was his action that made it all happen. At the consecration here at Mass, yes, it's both the words of Jesus through his priest, but it's his words, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit that actually transforms the bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And confession, yes, it's the words of Christ through the priest, it is Christ who forgives you, but it is the action of the Holy Spirit that cleanses you. And in marriage, the two become one flesh. Guess who does that? The Holy Spirit is the one who binds you together. So, this all sounds great. So how do I get the Holy Spirit? This is good. Well, simple. He's already yours. He was first given to you through the waters of baptism. And then his power was completed in you and strengthened through the holy sacrament of confirmation. And by the way, if somehow you missed the sacrament of confirmation, that happens when people move and all kinds of things through their teen years and all of that. Let us know, and we'll get you hooked up. It'll be good. Because you will experience the many gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, but in the measure that you are open to receiving him. There's where that prayer comes in again. It's openness. If you are open to his working in you. Remember, this is not magic. So wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, courage, piety, fear of the Lord, these gifts, powerful, are yours already. And these gifts produce within us incredible fruits, just a few of them. Peace, Who here does not want peace? A deep, abiding peace, patience, joy, love, kindness, generosity, self-control, all of these and more. They're at our disposal, but we have to be open. So back to St. Paul's statement, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. So real life-transforming prayer is a response to God. And I guess then the first question for each and every one of us this morning to answer is, do I want my life transformed? So many of us are content, not happy, but we are content with the way things are. We're content enough living life on the surface. We don't want to go deep. Why? And that takes some effort. We numb ourselves, especially through entertainment or shopping or internet or excessive sports or so many other ways that work to keep us superficial and numb, because it takes hard work to go deep. And too often we say this phrase, I just don't have the time. Well, you do have the time. I do have the time. I've said it before, don't try to find time. You won't. You have to make time. We will always find an excuse to not do something. So we have to make time to pray. After all, we make time to do all the other things in life that we like and think are important. And this is the most important one. This is the one that keeps us in a lifeline of conversation with our Creator. And if we can't see this, it's because we haven't matured yet enough in our faith. But the Holy Spirit is here to help that too. Now, the ultimate reason, the purpose, that we are called to this life of God in prayer is to surrender and love. To surrender our souls and love. It is this life of prayer, in this life of prayer, that we discover God acting in our lives and transforming us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He acts on us, transforming us ultimately into another Christ. This is the point of being a disciple. The word Christian means this, another Christ. St. Paul expresses this goal perfectly. In another place, he said, it is no longer I, not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Friends, we're ultimately speaking of falling in love with God. When a person falls in love, they often feel what? A burning, right? A deep longing for the other. And one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is what? It is fire. The tongues of fire that descended upon the apostles and the Blessed Virgin Mary at Pentecost. Even today at the Pantheon in Rome, the Church of All Saints, they drop red rose petals on all of the people as a symbol of the tongues of flame descending, reminding them that they too are receiving the same Holy Spirit. So think about fire. Fire changes what it touches. It is power, it is energy, it is transformation, it produces light and warmth. And St. Luke tells us that Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit when she conceived the Lord at the incarnation. And this is the very same Holy Spirit, not a different one, the same one who wishes to overshadow you and me. The Holy Spirit stands ready to transfigure you also, to change you, to plant his burning, transforming fire deep within the inmost recesses of your heart. So the question remains is, are you open to this? He will not force us. Are you willing to lose yourself to find everything in God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.